Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Coman, Head of Research, Commodities, ESG and Emerging Markets, EMEA. It's Friday, 28th October 2022, and in this week's podcast, Essan contextualizes the International Monetary Fund's fiscal assessment for global markets. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Essan, as part of its periodic economic outlook update, the IMF published its semi-annual fiscal monitor report this month. As arguably the most comprehensive source of standardized global fiscal data available, what were the key takeaways?
Thank you, Una. So yes, the IMF's fiscal monitor is a much anticipated publication and offers good guidance on the fiscal health of both developed and emerging markets. The general takeaway of the latest report released this month is that governments should not combat monetary policy with central banks trying to defeat inflation, or they will risk undermining market confidence. And that's quite a strong message for us in that it's a reversal of the messaging from previous years, with now the IMF distancing itself from calls for governments to borrow more, stating that greater debt levels are no longer appropriate now that interest rates are needed to rise in order to tackle elevated inflationary pressures. Now, with that big picture in mind, digging into the details, so the IMF is now projecting general government deficits in emerging market economies to reach 6.2% in 2022 and 5.4% in 2023, against 3.6% and 3.7% in 2022 and 2023, respectively, for developed markets. So compared to an update 6 months ago, the IMF is now, in fact, forecasting a wider deficit in emerging markets this year and a slightly narrower deficit in developed markets, while raising its next year's deficit projections across most economies. Now, in aggregate, these projections suggest that the IMF views that it will take longer for fiscal balances to return to their pre-COVID stance, where fiscal deficits averaged around 2.5% for developed markets and around 4% for emerging markets. Now, from a regional perspective, across major emerging markets, emerging markets EMEA and emerging markets Asia are likely to see an increase in fiscal deficits next year, with an easing policy stance in China particularly driving the latter. Now, by contrast, the revised projections suggest that some stabilization is expected in Latin America and sub-Saharan Africa fiscal deficits, and a significant improvement in fiscal balances in the Middle East on account of the oil-driven positive terms of trade shock. Now, Una, the challenge for policymakers today, in our view, is compounded by the significantly reduced fiscal space. Now, COVID has pushed debt levels to record highs in many economies, with developed market government debt rising to no less than 123% of GDP, which is the highest level since World War II. Now, for emerging markets, the crisis has pushed debt levels to even the highest levels on record, in excess of 60% of GDP on aggregate. And going forward, it's a bit of a mixed picture. The IMF projects debt levels to somewhat stabilize across developed markets, while it is projecting emerging market debt levels to continue rising from the current record high levels in the years ahead.
Thanks, Essan. And on that last point, is there differentiation amongst emerging markets, or are all in the same bag and dealing with high debt levels?
So, Una, within emerging markets, we would say that there is significant dispersion in terms of debt levels. Now, among major emerging markets, the highest debt levels as a share of GDP are in the likes of, say, India, China, places like Egypt, Ghana, Hungary, as well as in Brazil. Now, when thinking about debt sustainability, both India and China in particular have seen relatively strong nominal growth on a trend basis that likely implies greater ability to carry this debt. Now, whilst by contrast, high debt levels may be more concerning in Brazil, where growth has underperformed significantly in recent years. And at the same time, places like Indonesia, Vietnam, energy commodity exporters in the EMEA region, places like Chile and Peru, have relatively low debt levels in comparison, with relatively limited signs of significant fiscal scarring after the pandemic. Now, beyond the debt levels, one characteristic of fiscal developments this year is that the link between fiscal and external balances has indeed strengthened in our view. So in 2020, large fiscal deficits had relatively mixed implications for external balances, where economies had had relatively large fiscal stimulus were also typically the ones with relatively stern lockdowns, translating to higher domestic excess savings and therefore decreasing the need to source external savings to fund large public deficits. Fast forward to 2022, and by contrast, the relatively large fiscal balances are coincided with a large widening in current account balances. Now, in emerging markets, countries that stand out with significant twin deficits are places like India, Pakistan, Hungary, Kenya, and places like Colombia. Now, promisingly, most emerging markets do hold reserve balances in excess of the short-term external requirements, although places like Turkey and to a lesser extent Hungary do face difficulties in this regard. And also these metrics have deteriorated quite materially over the last year, with a decrease in reserve balances and an increase in short-term funding needs the most. An absence and adjustment in fiscal policy, Una, to stabilize external positions, this will signal for us ongoing pressures on emerging markets' balance sheets.
And finally, Asan, bringing this all together, you have been mentioning to me that you believe that public finances could indeed be the next major imbalance for emerging markets.
Sure, Una. So yes, a commonality we would say in our narrative this year has been one of consistent caution on the emerging markets complex, given the multitude of the fundamental global headwinds, from higher cost of funding to the withdrawal of global liquidity to the dominant US dollar. And we have preferred economies with a relatively attractive risk premium, including those with a strong central bank commitment to combating inflation and those with a better external position that are therefore less exposed to the impact of deteriorating global financial conditions. And with this, Una, we believe that the next differentiating factor for emerging markets is indeed the health and the outlook of public finances. And all in, we favor emerging market opportunities will likely be seldom in scope and in the form of tactical balances supported by favorable technical picture that is very depressed sentiment, low positioning, and high cash levels of institutional investors. And in terms of specific markets, Brazil is promising given concerns over extreme fiscal scenarios are now behind us, followed by places like Mexico, where public finances are already solid. And markets, of course, like the GCC region, particularly Saudi Arabia, the UAE and Qatar, where there is genuine change in the narrative to be counter-cyclical, despite oil and gas windfalls alongside fiscal reform.
Thanks for sharing your insight on this, Asan. Have a great week, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Una. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.